Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It is time for another edition of the Rich Eisen Show here in rainy Southern California. It's okay. We'll get through it together. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on Roku, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit. Also, we say hello to those on Sirius XM and Odyssey. We say hello to those listening to us whenever they want on our podcast, available at the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts are available. We always appreciate if you hit that subscribe button and get on the old RSS feed. And the same thing with our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There is an on-demand service as well on our Roku page and the Roku channel. It's the Rich Eisen Show experience and collection. We appreciate that. You can get this show whenever you want. And that's part of the many things we love about our partnership with Roku. We've got a great show. We're four wide today. We've got two in-studio guests. We've also got a head coach in college football, Brian Kelly, fresh off of a huge win against Alabama. He's going to be joining us on this program. And then the story du jour we'll dive into to start this show in a second. But first of all, I say hello to Chris Brockman.
Hey,
who is? What's up, bud? Wearing like your raincoat?
Yeah. I'm filming actually Tombstone 2 later.
You look kind of creepy. I'm not going to lie. Like I would cross the street if I saw you. But good to see you.
It's not my best look, but you're leaving tomorrow. It's fine.
I don't understand what's happening over there.
It's cold and it's wet.
Okay, very good.
You know what I mean?
Good to see you. Good to see you. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts, not incognito, just his usual self. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Disrespect is real.
There you go. Good. TJ Jefferson, light that candle, why don't you? Light the candle.
It's lit, man. I just have to remind everybody that Tony lied to all of us because it definitely does rain in Southern California.
It does. Very good. Everybody, normally we start a show on a Tuesday based on what happened in the previous night's game, the Monday night finale to an NFL week. And last night we did see the Baltimore Ravens go into New Orleans with Lamar Jackson. Roquan Smith looks like he's played for the Ravens forever. And Andy Dalton did not have a good night. And the Ravens look terrific. They're now 6-3, and we'll discuss this a little bit more on the program as everything's clicking for this team, including this rest of their season schedule. My power rankings coming up later, and so much to discuss on this program because I'm going to do it today. I'm heading off to Munich, Germany, by the way, in case there's a town called Munich in this United States. To call the Week 10 game between the Bucs and the Seahawks. So I'll be doing my power rankings earlier today. But we have to start with the top story in the NFL because I don't recall anything remotely close to this ever. There wasn't a 24/7, 365 NFL network or 24/7 365 sports talk radio shows. There wasn't any 24/7, 365 on-air programs where there's argument and analysis and more argument. In other words, when Norm Van Brocklin in 1961 was brought on with no coaching experience at all to coach the Philadelphia Eagles, WIP didn't exist?
Nope.
Okay. this is new. And the new is firing a head coach in the middle of a season. To bring in as his replacement somebody who's never done it before, currently coaching at the high school level. He does know the organization because he had a stellar career playing center, snapping the football to Peyton Manning for so many years, and he's one of the best people you will ever meet in any walk of life, certainly in a football life, in Jeff Saturday. And in so hiring him and firing the head coach, Frank Reich, who just fired the offensive coordinator the week before to coordinate an offense and call the plays for a kid who was drafted in the sixth round last year out of Texas named Sam Ehlinger and having him not get a single first down on a third down in New England and being sacked and turning it over. And it was one of the worst offensive performances this very proud franchise has ever had. And firing Frank Reich, Jim Irsay has left the Indianapolis Colts with zero coaches on the staff who's ever called an NFL offensive play ever. So this is what we call unprecedented. And when Jim Irsay stepped to a podium last night in Indianapolis with his new head coach, interim head coach Jeff Saturday to his left, and general manager Chris Ballard, who has survived the purge that has occurred to date, and he says, Jim Irsay, that Chris Ballard is going to be sticking around. All eyes to on that podium and all ears peeled to hear, why'd you do it? Where did this come from? Here is Jim Irsay explaining his decision-making.
When I hired Tony Dungy, it was done very methodical. You know, you operate like the CIA. It's very analytical. It's very unemotional. It's very methodical, with in-depth experience and knowledge and trying to get the feeling for what's right. Then I wanted a winning coach, a winning playoff coach, a winning coach that was proven to come in with our franchise. Now, I'm glad he doesn't have any NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for all our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available, and he has tons of experience. He knows this game inside and out, with relationships with coaches and players, and has been a consultant for us for several years, a paid consultant, informing Chris and I and other people in the organization, you know, his opinions.
So. Wow. Look, and I say this with all due respect because I do love Jim Irsay and I do love Jeff Saturday. But when he says we're lucky he was available, is that because Jeff wasn't out running an errand?
He answered the call.
You know what I mean? Like, cause, and when he says that, it undercuts everything else that he said around it, before it, and after it. Because of course he was available. He's coaching high school football and talking about the sport on ESPN. And Jeff Saturday wasn't even expecting this. Here is what Saturday said when he stepped to the podium yesterday.
Yeah, shocked would be an understatement, right? Shocked would be an understatement. So, yeah, we had the conversation, and it escalated quickly. He asked me, my wife Karen, and you know, he said, hey, will you go have a conversation with your wife and make sure that, you know, she's on board? And my son Josh still lives with us at home, and you have that conversation. And he told me he was going to meet with Chris about it, and
And Chris and I knew she's the most important woman.
That's exactly
thank
right.
Thank you, kid.
And so we had the conversation. We talked about it and prayed about it. And then as the day progressed this morning, we finally came to a conclusion. But it was a 12-hour whirlwind.
Here's the scoop, because my phone's been texted and ringing, and I'm not.
Are you joining the Colts staff?
I'm not. Nice.
Oh.
That's my way of setting up that I don't traffic in the same NFL circles as the guy who's sitting in this chair for the rest of this week, filling in for me and hanging out with you guys and everybody who's listening and watching over the next 3 days while I go to Germany to call that game on Saturday, Tom Pelissero. I'm not an information individual per se, but my ears to the ground and people just send me texts. The league is stunned. Stunned by this. And people are also pissed about this around the league. Mm-hmm. People who are coaching and doing everything that needs to be done on the dues paying front of all colors, by the way, And Jeff Saturday's sitting at home and he gets a phone call from an owner in the NFL saying, how'd you like to be the coach of the Indianapolis Colts? And Jeff Saturday is going to be absolutely in the figurative crosshairs of this aspect of this job. You cannot blame him for taking it. Okay? You cannot blame him for taking the job. He's not going to sit there and go, I can't take the job because I didn't pay my dues. No, an owner actually called him and said, hey, man, and someone I'm sure he adores, and an organization he adores and a town he adores and is nothing but, and if his family's willing to say, okay, you go and chase that dream and we'll live our lives, I imagine separately. I don't think he lives in Indianapolis. So it is a challenge for Jeff Saturday to basically uproot his life and just throw himself into this mix. So I do not blame him for taking the job, but a lot of people are going to be blaming Jim Irsay for offering it. And if it doesn't work out, I mean, again, it's not like the first thing he did announce is it's Sam Ehlinger's job. Like I told you yesterday and last week as well, when we were kind of batting around the subject, maybe they do turn to Matt Ryan again. Contractually, they don't want to pay him the amount of money that he would be owed if he gets hurt behind this offensive line that has been absolutely the shocking sore thumb of this team so far this year. And so Saturday's got a kid who's going to be making his third career start. And Saturday said last night he was going to spend last night making calls around the staff to see who will be the best person to call the offensive plays because nobody on the staff has ever done it before. And that's how they're going to, like, as of right now, we still don't know. I imagine the Colts and Saturday have identified who that individual is. But there's a whole process of what the play is and how you're going to get it to the quarterback and how he's going to receive it. How is he going to get it in his ears? The cadence back and forth. The decision-making that's got to go. And Jeff's got to let him know on third down, set it up for fourth down, and got to know how many timeouts he's got left. And all of that, you saw how this has consumed so much of Nathaniel Hackett's first year so far in Denver, that they had to get him an old hand up in the booth to help him out with this sort of material. And maybe Jeff's got this cold. Maybe he does. He's really good. He's really accomplished. He's really smart. But this is, I mean, one talk about an uphill challenge. My goodness gracious. So, you know, everybody's wondering, like, what is Jim Irsay thinking? And a very point-blank question posed to him in the press conference, last soundbite I'll play for you here, was like, okay, everything you've said about this team so far, it's falling completely apart, and you backed up on it. And you've gone a reversed course. Hit it.
This spring you said that when Matt Ryan came here, he was going to be the starter for 2 years, maybe three. It lasted seven games. Recently you told ESPN that Frank Reich was safe and that lasted 8 days. So why should Colts fans believe the promises you have about your head coach and your general manager?
I've never hired a losing head coach. We're the fourth winningest team in the league. It's not about belief, it's about fact. What we've done, we're better than most all. It's that simple. Our record proves it over a period of time. So you don't have to believe much when it's there in black and white, you know. And the thing I'd say, you know, Al Davis has always been my biggest influencer in terms of football. I mean, Shula, Paul Brown, Tex Ram, yes, but Al was always number one. And if Al was here and you'd say, hey, Al, why do you think Jeff is going to be successful? He'd say three words. He's not scared.
Okay, I mean, that was...
Wow.
And so in case anybody's wondering, when Jim Irsay was referring to the fourth winningest team, he's not meaning this year. He had said earlier in the press conference that the Colts have the fourth winningest record in the league since 2000. And, you know, part of that definitely has to do with being bestowed one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play, the Sheriff. And once the Sheriff got hurt and they had the worst record in the league, it just happened to be, you know, the Colts were lucky And that's not the turn of the phrase that you are making a rim shot move in the, on the other side. But they were fortunate that it wasn't when Manning got hurt. It wasn't in one of those drafts where the top pick was a left tackle or a defensive pass rusher. They were lucky that Andrew was there. And they got him. And then got particularly unlucky with him deciding to just not want to play football anymore. A decision that the team is still digging out of and now may have found rock bottom. Rock bottom. Because I am wondering, how does this play in the locker room? I mean, Jeff Saturday, again, is a leader of men and is a guy who knows exactly how to lead. He did it on the collective bargaining agreement front in 2011 when he was integral and making sure a deal got done and a lockout ended and there was no nuclear winter. I mean, the guy's been there and done that. But right now, to be thrown into this mix, they don't have a play caller. They got a kid who's in start number three. So now you do have to look at Jim Irsay and say, does he know what he's doing? Because you don't have a franchise quarterback to bail you out. And I'll throw out another name, Ryan Grigson. They hired him over Les Snead in Indianapolis years ago. Okay, so they're not perfect. And terrific quarterbacks bailed him out. That guy's not walking through that door. And the only one that's as close to that on a resume, you won't play a lick because you don't want to pay him if he gets hurt. That is the worst situation you want to be in as you send out a guy who's never done it before. I've never, ever seen anything like it. Never. While the rest of the league is looking at this with shaking their head and also with a whole bunch of rooting against it. And Saturday is a guy who you normally would want to root for, to be very honest with you. Man. I've never seen anything like it, and if it doesn't work out, like a lot of people think, we'll never see anything like it again. So that's the way we start this program. Zach Kiefer, who knew we'd call him back up again?
Because right?
We called him. He's on the athletic staff covering the Colts. We called him up after Matt Ryan got benched saying, what gives? Now this is like what gives on steroids. And he'll be joining us in the middle of hour number two. I will ask Brian Kelly, what do you think of Jeff Saturday getting the gig? And he's probably going to be like, I'm just sitting here in Baton Rouge coming off the biggest win of of the year, maybe my entire coaching career. What are you asking me this for? But I have to. This is the coaching profession.
Yeah, man.
My buddy, Maxwell Simpkins, he's the young actor, one of the stars of Disney Plus's Mighty Ducks Game Changers. I've got a season-long storyline arc on it. All right, I might play myself in a few episodes.
Attaboy.
He's joining me in hour number three just to have a little chit-chat. I said, hey, man, when the episodes come out, we'll have you on the show. Today is that day. But let's take a break. Andrew Hawkins, our buddy from Roku and Roku Recommends, and also the co-founder of Status Pro and the NFL Pro Era game that he's got is Lighten Up. And we can't wait to chat with him on this and other subjects next. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Andrew Hawkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our terrestrial radio audience is returning. You're telling a story about how, again, NFL pro era, your VR game, your VR sports game. There was a commercial during an Amazon Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
It is awesome, man. It is awesome. It's a great feeling. We have over 200 million views of organic content on our game. So people playing the game. So it's like goes viral every week. So you got to try it. I know you haven't yet, but we're going to, next time I'm in, I'm going to bring my headset and you're going to get in the headset.
I totally want it. I mean, I've got my, we have an Oculus at home. I'll have the kids play it. We'll do it for sure.
I was hoping he's going to bring one today.
A million percent. No, it's all good. So at least again, with your commercial having run successfully on Amazon Prime, you're way ahead of NFL Network's first ever nationally televised commercial, because our first commercial was in the Super Bowl. Okay. And it was right after the halftime musical act was done. So we were so psyched that it was going to be in that first pod, commercial pod, to use a TV term, right after halftime. The whole country was going to watch, except for the fact that Justin Timberlake had a wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson, and nobody saw our commercial. When I say nobody saw our commercial, nobody saw it.
Now that you mentioned it, I've heard people talk about Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, that moment for a long time. No one ever mentions your commercial.
Ever?
No, it's never a part of the conversation.
You know what? That's why I'm here to talk about it. So at least you didn't have that happen for your spot during the football game. You're way ahead of NFL Network, which has been here 19 years later. So
there you go.
Look at you. Andrew Hawkins, I need you to tell me, what do you think is happening in the Indianapolis Colts locker room today?
What are the players thinking?
What do you think is happening in that locker room today? Yes.
There is I'm positive there is an overwhelming feeling of what the hell is going on, but like in a funny way, like, 'cause you get to these, like when I was in Cleveland, we had some, you know, some seasons, we had some turmoil. This is like the Johnny Football years. Josh Gordon was going through some issues. Like, we had some stuff, and you, when these moments happen, you sit in these circles and you're trying to make sense of it all. And for a lot of the times, you just can't do it. And this is one of those situations that they're like, well, how the heck are we going to listen to a coach who has no idea what's going on? He hasn't been in the locker room. And not that he doesn't know football, because Jeff Saturday, premium human being, premium football mind, incredible person, probably will be, if he wanted to, a successful head coach in short order. But just in the fashion that he came through of this, like, it takes so much to build this chemistry and this kind of locker room and to build a team. You coming in blank with kind of no prior visibility into all the mechanisms and inner workings, it's tough. We're all grown. This is like, an NFL coach is not like a high school coach. Or a college coach.
Well, by the way, I have to push back, because Jeff Saturday just was a high school coach.
He was.
2 days ago.
He was.
Just yesterday morning, he woke up as a high school coach.
And he was probably very successful, too. He's probably incredible. But the thing about high school and college is, like, you are the authoritative figure.
Yes.
Right? And we sometimes think, oh, that's the head coach of the NFL. He's the authoritative figure. Yes, he is. But you're more like coworkers, right? Like, you're not the highest paid person in the locker room. There's players that are the highest paid people in the locker room. And we are like, we opt into this relationship of what we want out of it. And at some point, if you don't feel like your coworkers, whether that's in the front office, ownership or whatever, are putting that in, it does change the way you go about your business.
But Jeff Saturday does know that dynamic, right?
Because
he used to be involved in that. The problem is, though, is the situation in which he's entering is one that is just on its face, even if Frank Reich was still there, a complete and total mess on the offensive side of the ball. And I guess let me drill down a little deeper, Andrew Hawkins. What's it like to be in the wide receiver room coming off of that game? No, they were 0 for 14 on third downs. this young man is still trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And now there's no professional play caller in the system right now. Whoever's going to call the plays, it's his first ever play. The first offensive snap for the Colts in Las Vegas on Sunday will be called by somebody. That will be his first ever professional play call in the NFL.
There's two people in this situation that I feel the worst for. Mm-hmm. One is Jeff Saturday, right? Because I go to Dave & Buster's a lot with my kids, right? Okay. Arcades. And the whole point of Dave & Buster's, you play the game, you try to get as many tickets as possible. I don't like Dave & Buster's like 95% of the games because I have no control over winning. So what I do is I go play, there's one called like Kung Fu Panda, where you got to hit it a certain amount of times, but it literally is like how fast your hands are. And I feel good about my ability to rack up the tickets. The other one is the quarterback one. We have to throw it in the holes and you get, if you beat the high score.
Yes.
And so I literally just play those two the entire time and I rack the tickets up because I can control it. Jeff Saturday is going into Dave & Buster's and there's no Kung Fu Panda. There's no quarterback game for him. He doesn't even know these offensive plays, so he has to rely on the people that have been there, even just for terminology. Even if he wants to run a play, he has to say, "Hey, what do you guys call a? You know, what do you call a flat hitch here? Oh, okay, call that play." So it's literally in somebody else's hands. So he's the first person I feel bad for because the cards are stacked against him. Number two is Marcus Brady, who was the offensive coordinator there 7 days ago. And they fired. He wasn't the play caller. But he got fired as the offensive coordinator when he wasn't calling the plays. And here we are 6 days later. The actual play caller and Frank Wright gets fired. And now there's nobody in the locker room who has the ability to call the plays. You know who would have been perfect for that?
Marcus Brady.
Marcus Brady. So in this situation, I think he's the biggest loser right now in the situation. And then Jeff Saturday is number two because, not to say he won't be successful. Again, I love Jeff. I think Jeff Saturday is incredible. Mm-hmm. But the cards are stacked against him. So it's a tough situation to go into.
And I find it fascinating that you chose those two guys and not, say, Michael Pittman Jr. Or because these are the guys who want to ball out.
No,
and
of course.
Have the ability to. Alec Pierce is a rookie. He must be looking around saying, man, that was great on Cincinnati last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just looking around, just wondering, how does this work? And Jonathan Taylor is hurt. The offensive line has been dreadful all season long. This just has it. There's really no words for it. I've never heard of anything close to this before.
It's crazy. It really, I mean, it's crazy. I feel like I'm a little bit in the Twilight Zone. You know, and to your even about the Jeff Saturday thing, I had to go through this with Josh McCown, right?
What do you mean?
Josh McCown is one of my dearest, closest friends ever. He is salt of the earth. If he ran for president today, I would vote for him. Incredible football mind. Mm-hmm. I've never met someone who's played with him who doesn't love him, understands the locker room, understands the dynamics. I think he will be an extremely successful head coach. Last year when they were having the talks about him going straight from player to the Texans, there was like this, you know, again, we understand it. You become the face of privilege, right? Like there's a process. There's people in the waiting. And yes, there are. And so you're stuck. I think he's going to be a great coach. But then there's the process. Jeff Saturday is a little bit of the same thing that I feel people literally fighting for their lives on because you know him and you're like, yeah, he will be a great head coach. He has all the makings. But he completely circumvented the process. And honestly, even if he is good, the situation, the conversation, all these things will play in to his eventual failure or success because now you're dealing with factors outside that you didn't consider when you were thinking about one day possibly getting the opportunity.
Yeah, Andrew Hawkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the rest of the league. When we first had you here during the season, it was first blush. You talked about Mike McDaniel.
Yep.
And how he was teaching you some things when you were together in Cleveland and how that will play out for this offense. That went pretty viral as well.
It did. You know,
like Dolphins fans were loving that conversation. And so you were showing how good this team can be and barring the Tua injury, you were seeing it. What are you seeing now for the rest of the season? Are you thinking it's an Eagles world and we're just paying rent? We saw what the Chiefs just did, the Bills.
Yeah.
just lost to the Jets, and we'll have to take a look at Josh Allen's wing, to use a Buffalo phrase. What do you make of the rest of this season right now?
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I like them. I think it's going to come down to the Chiefs or the Bills because they have two quarterbacks that are playing the best. And honestly, I know we get bored with Patrick Mahomes. He's still the guy. He's still the guy when he wants to be. It has been consistent since the day he stepped on. It's a very weird thing for me that we don't talk about him as much. But he plays lights out all the time, and he's a very tough person to beat. And the only other quarterback that I see playing at his level is Josh Allen right now because of the way Josh Allen is, big, physical, can throw it 75 yards in the air, and he has the weapons on the outside that, they're hard to argue against.
So we yesterday put a poll question up at Rich Eisen Show. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles win the Super Bowl or the field?
Or the field.
You would choose?
I would Bills, Chiefs, Eagles.
Bills, Chiefs. I did as well. Do you have the final poll results?
I do. Actually, there's an hour left of this. Okay, if you want to vote at Rich Eisen Show right now or give us a call. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, 53%. The field, 47%.
So which one would you take from the field if I'm forcing you to do
so? You're forcing me in there. Okay.
I'll tell you which one I would choose from the field.
Who is that?
49ers.
You like the Niners?
Yeah. I do. Seeing what they did last week, 2 weeks ago, before a bye, after which they're going to get healthier.
Uh-huh.
McCaffrey scores three different ways. Kittle scores. Ayuk scores with McCaffrey throwing it to him, and they looked like that.
Yeah.
And Debo didn't even suit up.
That's a good point.
And they're defensively really good, and again, they get healthier, and I like them.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me type of situation with Jimmy G. I love Jimmy G. Late in that I think they're going to go deep in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's why I can't get over the 49ers. I'm not because he's a bad quarterback. I think Jimmy G is good. But they're like, you got to have somebody that is going to take that play on himself. I think Jalen Hurts can do that. I know Patrick Mahomes can do it. I know Josh Allen can do it. Right. So like, they have the talent everywhere on the field. Can Jimmy G sit in there and say, I'm going to make this one play to win us the game? And we've seen those in moments where he hasn't been able to do so. You can get over that hump. Your time will come. Maybe he makes those plays, once every four times, and this is the year when that play happens, he makes it, but he just hasn't done it. And that's my obstacle with being all in on the 49ers.
Well, and looking at you answer Andrew Hawkins, I can still see TJ Jefferson behind you with his big Dallas star to his left.
Yeah.
And I will ask you what I'm sure he wants me to ask you is, why not the Cowboys?
The same thing I just said about Jimmy G, the whole thing on the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys. They're talented. I just don't see him get we go through this every year with the Cowboys. No offense, TJ. Me and TJ are like basically almost related. Did he tell you that?
I did not know that.
And I hate to play into the stereotype that all black people are related.
But in this case.
But in this very rare case.
What we're saying.
We basically did a deep dive last time I was here. TJ's family is from my hometown. I'm like, oh yeah, I got Jeopardy. Basically it's like my cousins are his cousins, on different sides of the family, which is just a weird small world thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's crazy, but no. I'm not shocked. Because I've always known he was from Johnstown because, I've known him as a player and everything he's done.
Sure.
So I always knew Andrew Hawkins was from Johnstown, and it was always like, yeah, he's probably my cousin. Then I hit up my mom, and then she hit me back. It's like, well, yeah, that actually is your cousin.
So then your Cowboys take is a family feud then.
It's a family feud.
It is now,
it's
and I took offense. You said reunion, no offense, sure. But I took offense.
Yeah.
So what is who's the Jimmy G in this equation? That you said you didn't trust Jimmy G, couldn't get past fool me twice. Then who's the fool me twice? Just
coaching.
It's McCarthy.
Ooh. I don't think McCarthy has it to get over the hump. I like McCarthy. He's successful. He had Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, do you feel like he has what it takes to get over the hump there?
Here's what I think. I think that, we were talking just yesterday going back and forth on text, because I'm now addicted to doing top five lists here on the show after hating lists for so many years.
It's glorious.
I'm a full convert now. And these guys were like, you should do a top five MVP list, but non-quarterbacks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Top five. And I went back and forth, who would be number one on that list for me? And I put Micah Parsons there.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I don't mind that.
Tyreek Hill, man.
I don't mind that either. I understand too, that. I understand that. But one team 6-2 and another team 6-3. No, I just Sorry. Think Parsons is like, you take Parsons out because I know that that's the conversation of MVP. Right. Sure. That you like to have, like, yeah. You know, that's your Hall of Fame argument. Like, can you tell
can
the,
you story,
the story, right,
yeah.
without this person?
Bingo.
Okay, so you take Parsons out of that defense, that's still a whole different ball of wax. You take Tyreek Hill out of that offense, there's still some pieces that you can win a game or two. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, and that's, as you know how I feel about the Cheetah, the disrespect is not real. but, you know,
yeah.
that's what. So the defense is that good,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know.
Who's the second person? Because I feel like on those teams,
it
could
be Tyreek Hill.
You need like two people on a team that are like, whether it's the coaching, mm-hmm. player, quarterback, like okay. someone like Micah.
Micah and Tank Lawrence.
No, how about this one? You want to talk about the little twist here? The second person on that team,
uh-huh.
who's the difference maker, is Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard. I knew you were going there.
Damn straight I'm going there.
Yeah. So you think it's his job?
How is it not?
How is it not?
No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And every time, hold on a second. Every time I say this, people are like, you hate Ohio State. You hate, you know,
because
you're Michigan. But... No. Zeke is a world-class, all-time great pass protector
mm-hmm.
at the running back position. So him being a three-down back is real, okay?
Yeah, yep.
And him moving chains is real. And him putting it in the end zone from the 5-yard line, 10-yard line to give you some good red zone action is real.
Mm-hmm.
Home run hitter?
They're
nah-uh.
Few. Yeah. No, you're right.
Nah-uh.
He's not home run anymore.
So this is what I'm talking about. Like, that's a different offense.
Yeah, okay.
And what if they had Odell?
Yeah, I think Odell helps him. I think Odell helps anybody.
Of course.
Yeah, I think he helps anybody. I don't know if it's like, I like Tony. I need to see a little bit more from him to say like, oh,
of course.
Those two things make them better than the field, right? Like, and I don't think that's it. Even I would say Miami if you asked me to pick a team because of Tyreek Hill and because of Mike McDaniel. I don't want to go back into the same thing we talked about last time, but
go ahead.
I mean, it's shown so far this season. The way he game plans, the way he calls plays, the way he has this offense rolling, you hear his players talk about it. I think he gives them an advantage against the team that they're playing, as does Tyreek Hill. So those would be my two people on that team. On the Dallas Cowboys, I have to see more from Tony because he's popping. But once everybody catches up to say, okay, well, now we're going to go trying to stop you. It's one thing to do really well. My first year in the league, my first year starting in 2012, I was going, like, people didn't expect me. I was catching the ball, and I was out 50 yards here, 70 yards there. And I'm like, this NFL thing is easy. And then once they were like, okay, here's how, now we're gonna key on you. Let's see what you do. It was a lot harder then, yeah. right? So I need to see Tony get over that hump. If he's the guy, mm-hmm. if they go with him,
yes,
I need to see him get over the hump once people make the decision to say, okay, now we're going to stop you, Tony Pollard, and make somebody else beat us. What do you do in those moments? That defines whether you're one of those premium guys.
By the way, I'm not saying bench Zeke, like he don't use him.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
that.
I want that out there. And just again with the Dolphins, their passing game looks like the old Miami Dolphins of the Shula days, like right,
yep.
Marino and the
mm-hmm.
and the Marks brothers,
yeah.
right? And the run game are the Miami 49ers. They literally are. I mean, like McDaniel signs him in the offseason.
Yep.
Go get me Jeff Wilson Jr. out of San Francisco. The minute they acquire McCaffrey, go get me him.
Yep.
He scores. They look, so the run game's like the Miami 49ers,
mm-hmm.
and the passing game looks like the Miami Dolphins of old. Put it together, and
you got something.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue
but,
that.
But you're
I
still
like
not taking. You're still not taking the field.
I'm not taking them.
Got
I'm not taking them.
Status Pro and NFL Pro Era. Check it out right now. And how can people just get the game? What can they do? Just
Oculus.
Okay.
We're launching on Steam VR mm-hmm. in December. We'll be on the PSVR 2 when that comes out in Q1 of 2023. You can get on PSVR as well. Anywhere you can get VR, you can get NFL Pro Era.
Look at that. Lamar
definitely
on
check
the
it
co-
out.
Cover. He had a great game last night.
He did, man. He's a superb athlete and quarterback.
By the way, the conversation we just had, a whole bunch of people were like, why not the Ravens? I mean, they hardly play. The only winning team, I guess, a team with a winning record left on their schedule is Cincinnati, and they're 5-4.
The only question I have about the Ravens
yeah.
is on the outside.
outside, just
receivers.
Receivers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, DeSean Jackson. He came off the practice squad last night.
He did. He did. Didn't he leave with a hamstring injury?
Facts.
That's my guy. It's tough when you get older, man. Those hamstrings go.
What a drag it is getting old, no
Rich,
doubt.
Let's talk about the Cheetah's 40-yard dash challenge.
Oh, yeah.
See what he thinks.
When we had the Cheetah on Friday, and I invited him because he was talking about his family foundation. And I said, hey, you know, we'll make a donation to the family foundation. How about you running my 40-yard dash against me? And he told me that he would give me a 30-yard head start and still beat me.
well, Rich offered to give him 20, and then he accepted, and he goes, yeah, I'll give you 30. So it was just ooh.
I feel like every 4 months I see a Tyreek Hill 40-yard dash challenge to somebody, something. And I love his confidence. I'm taking you.
You take me?
If he gives you a 30-yard head start, Rich, I'm definitely taking you. And if you lose... I may never talk to you
Can
ever
Rich
again.
Win a 20-yard head start, though?
You know, 20-yard head start.
Like, how
close
do we have to go? Like, 17, 18 yards?
30 is a lot.
Something like that?
Yeah, it would probably... Rich stops being the favorite at, like, maybe even 22 yards would be a close
22
one.
Yards.
Wow. 22 okay. yards would be a close
but
one.
But 30, you know, he said the disrespect is
30
real.
30 is crazy.
That's what he said.
I mean, you could literally do three hops and get to the 40.
Okay, fantastic. At Hawk on Twitter and IG. Roku recommends. Check out you and Maria Menounos every single Thursday. A new episode's drop. You're part of the Roku channel family.
Shout
anytime.
Roku.
Anytime. Congrats on everything going on.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And thanks
you.
For coming in here early on a Tuesday.
We'll see you at the next family reunion.
Yeah, and you guys are going to hang out at the next family reunion.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. We are back with more in a moment.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First.
Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Cooper, my 11-year-old, who TJ Jefferson is beating up in fantasy this week. And just in case you think you're such a great fantasy player.
Well, I am.
My 11-year-old did not have his iPad yesterday, which is why Kevin Durant was benched and two other players were hurt.
Hey, I didn't know Dame Lillard was coming off the IR, so he was on my bench as well.
I hear excuses.
You know.
He's 11 years old.
But here's the deal.
We control his iPad.
Play like a champion.
But Chris, you notice this when he was stomping.
I thought he set his lineup for the week.
When he was stomping a mud hole in you last week, all you heard was like, you're getting beat up by 11-year-old, and now I'm winning. And it's like, well, you know, he's only 11. So
that's true.
I mean, come on.
Hey, my dad used to tell me.
We don't get both.
My dad, listen, I am my father's son. Okay. My dad, may he rest in peace, Joel Louis Eisen.
Mr. Joel.
Let's just say I was, Cooper's age, 11 and a half. Okay, and I would want to do something above my age, like something a little older than an 11-year-and-a-half-year-old would do. He goes, you're only 11. And then, right? You're only 11. And then I would totally just blow something up, act young, act my age. And he goes, you're almost 12. What are you doing?
That's such a dad move.
That is a dad move.
I learned, man. You're almost 12. Come
what
on,
are you doing?
Up. You're almost 12. What are you doing?
You're almost 12.
And then I'm like, well, I want to do something all grown up. You can't. You're only 11. He would round up or down to benefit his moment.
I used to have that moment
with
my mom.
So I'm doing that right now.
Whenever we get in an argument about something and she finally hit me with the just shut up. Then I knew, like, I was like, okay, I got this. I shut up. Don't get it wrong. Yes. I did shut up. But in my mind, I won, Rich. I won that fight.
Oh, baby.
That's funny.
Oh, gosh. Let's go to Rich in Temecula, California. You're here on The Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Richard?
What's going on? What's going on, Rich? How are you,
What's up, bud? What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, when you guys were talking about those three teams, Buffalo, KC, and Philly in the field, you know, I'm going to take the field. There's a couple teams you guys are missing out on.
Got it.
Not talking much about Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's looking tough. They only lost by three in KC. There's one for you. Dallas is pretty tough, and so is Minnesota. I know you guys are not too strong on Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, but with the Niners even, would you like Niners? Jimmy G is the young Kirk Cousins. Kurt's got a lot to prove in Minnesota. So I think Minnesota's a team to watch out for. They're going to run the table. They're not going to lose. They might not lose another game.
You know they're in Buffalo this week. I mean, I know that Josh Allen's elbow is, what is it? He's likely to be limited, and it's a situation to monitor or whatever we're calling our house band now. Off of Ian Rappaport's verbiage on this. You know they're in Buffalo, right, this week, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But, I mean, look at Buffalo just lost to the Jets.
So I could sit here and play. I could play the win-loss game with you for the Vikings, but it would be a waste of time. Right. That game home for Dallas and then Thanksgiving night against New England, home for the Jets.
That's pretty tough.
Okay, yeah, those games are okay. I got it. At Green Bay, at Chicago.
I'm going to take the field. That's,
okay.
That's where I'm going.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Rich. There you go. Okay, there you go. Okay. Sorry to cut you off where we're at the end of the hour.
Interesting.
Was that Del Tuvo just hitting the?
No. Mike knows we're
I know.
To use the TV radio phrase with a hard out.
Yes,
we're up against it.
Up against it, man. And I know.
Coming up, my power rankings. We'll see where the Vikings are on that
power
list.
Power rankings.
And you know what I want to dive into?
What's that, bud?
You just made the list.
Odell Beckham's choices.
Hey.
That's the next big domino in this National Football League, guys. That's coming up. In hour number two.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save. But nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.